Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Senator Chris Murphy, I guess, as an old friend of this program, and you were here while you were a congressman, remind me of some of the differences between being a congressman and a senator.
Well, the top of the list is 6-year terms, and great to be with you again. The grind of a 2-year term is really hard to describe, especially if you're in a competitive district, because you have to be constantly running for re-election, singing for your supper, raising money 4 hours a day. And that effectively ends, at least for the first 4 years of a 6-year term. And what's been so liberating for me is the ability to focus on policy, focus on Connecticut, on my constituents, and not have to worry as much about election. Now, the second thing that happens is, just as obvious, it's that you go from 435 to 100, and you don't have to fight for relevancy on an issue that you care about. You get it. And so, whether it's, my passion about building a progressive, smart, power-based foreign policy, or my interest in pushing forward the Affordable Care Act, supporting manufacturing, on all those issues, there's only two or three other senators who are really leading on a daily basis. And so you can be part of that group, part of that club pretty quickly.
So is it as bad as we have heard, Republicans versus Democrats?
No, it's not. And of course, all you hear is the bad stuff. CNN and MSNBC, they have no, interest, Fox News, no interest in covering the times that we agree. The veterans scandal is probably the best example, right? There was a big problem in the veterans administration where they were cooking the books and lying about wait times. And, that was top of the news for months and months and months. Well, we fixed the problem. We passed a $18 billion investment in the VA, which shortens wait times, eliminates the bad operators, and nobody covered that, right? Maybe it got a little bit of coverage on those same networks that pilloried the Congress and the VA for months prior. So, when good things happen, nobody, pays much attention to it. When bad things happen, it gets a lot of attention. That isn't to say that, there isn't way too much dysfunction down here. The fact is, we haven't made progress on energy policy or immigration policy. So there's lots of reasons to beat this place up. But your question was a simple one. Is it as bad as it looks? No, it's not as bad as it looks. It's still not great.
Where do you eat lunch every day?
Before I called you, I just scoffed down a ham and cheese sandwich at my desk, which is the place that I eat lunch most days. There's the other way you get lunch. So I generally go down to the cafeteria and eat something while I'm talking to my staff about some issue at my desk. But twice a week, the Democrats and Republicans get together separately to have lunch meetings. And a bunch of us suggested that we do it on Tuesday and Thursday. And a bunch of us got together and suggested, and the leadership hasn't taken us up on this yet, that we ditch the Thursday lunches and instead we do one together, all 100 of us, eating lunch together, talking about some topic behind closed doors where we can meet privately. The leadership hasn't said yes to that, but we eat lunch together twice a week, so it seems like we don't need both of them to sit, with our own respective parties, and hopefully we'll prevail upon McConnell and Reid to let us do that.
Do the Republicans eat differently than the Democrats?
I don't think so. No, we have a nice, we have a nice buffet. It's nothing, special. I think the Republicans do the same thing. So there's not a lot of eating that goes on at these things. Most people are in and out, kind of get the business of the day, make their point, and are on to other meetings. So there's not a lot of long lunches that happen in the Senate.
Here is a dangerous question, but I'll ask it anyway. What's Mitch McConnell really like?
That's maybe not as dangerous as you think. He's a creature of the institution. I won't tell you that I have, a deep, close personal relationship with Senator McConnell. He's a guy who has been here for a very long time and wears the, place on his skin. Now, I think he wants the place to work. I think he is an institutionalist, and so I'm willing to give him a shot. He certainly, as we talked today, has opened up the floor for amendments on the Keystone Pipeline in a way that I think is really helpful to the process, even if the bottom line bill isn't. So, you know, I guess I'm looking at him with, you know, rose-colored glasses right now and hoping that he allows us to have a little bit more debate than we have in the past.
Yeah. Well, he seems kind of serious to me, you know, like a serious guy.
Yeah, he's really dry. I mean, he's got a sense of humor, but it's a very dry one. I mean, in a strange way, him and Harry Reid are, you know, similar in that, you know, their exterior is very tough and very hard. And they are, you know, at some level introverts, I mean, or at least, you know, much more quiet, austere personalities. But when you get them behind closed doors, I mean, you know, you can't stop Harry from telling story after story after story about his boxing career or his early days in politics. And, you know, I haven't spent that many closed-door meetings with McConnell, but the suggestions from my Republican friends is that he conducts himself privately the same way.
Huh. You used an interesting word before. You said pilloried, and that got me into thinking about Hillary.
sorry for that.
No, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have done it. But the question is, do you see any serious political opposition to Hillary taking it if she wants it?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's still, you know, too early. There's definitely Democrats out there who, you know, have national followings that could quickly have national followings who could, you know, give her a run. And I think she'd be a great candidate. She's obviously, you know, ready to, you know, jump into the job on day one. She's been through tough campaigns, so there's no doubt that she can handle that. But I don't think we should assume that she'll get a, you know, free ride. These things are pretty precious nominations for the presidency of the United States in a year without an incumbent. So I think there might be some surprises.
Well, three names that keep creeping in through the crack in the door are, you know, Joe Biden and also Elizabeth Warren and also our friend who calls us all the time and talks to us, Bernie Sanders. What do you make of those?
Well, I mean, I don't know that, you know, the vice president is doing all of the things that you would think would be a predicate to launching a presidential campaign, you know, building an organization, starting to meet with donors. So, you know, he's not necessarily giving the logistical signals that he's launching a campaign. You know, Bernie and Elizabeth, although both of them, at least Elizabeth, professes not to be running, are starting to build those national networks. And so, you know, they certainly would be in a position to run. Elizabeth is a closer friend than Bernie, and I don't think that Elizabeth has, you know, any intention to do this. But Bernie would be obviously a very interesting, passionate, compelling candidate.
Do you think that the Republicans have a natural, I only have a couple of seconds here, but to me it seems like if they want to win, it's got to be Jeb Bush. Am I wrong?
Well, and they also have this instinct to, you know, essentially nominate the most likely, most institutional candidate. I don't know that Bush is as good as people think he is when you delve into his record and you look at sort of the formerly extreme conservative that he was before he started thinking about running for president. But it certainly seems like he fits that mold of the, you know, Mitt Romney, John McCain, Bob Dole position in the party. But if the Tea Party can get a standard bearer, which they didn't have 4 years ago, they didn't have one person they could rally around. If Scott Walker, for instance, becomes their candidate, that's a race.
I always love talking to Senator Chris Murphy. Chris, I have to give you the least BS award of all people I talk to. I ask you a question and you give me an answer and you don't obfuscate.
The bar is so low for us in political office, Alan. I'm glad to have stepped over it.
And I really love that. Let's come back and we'll talk about Free Community College, okay?
Great.